Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities, with John and Ms. J.
Hey, good afternoon.
All right.
Peace and love. How y'all doing?
I mean, we have a show for you today, okay? But before we continue, I would like to ask Ms. J if she don't mind bringing our special guest on.
Yes. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you taking the time to join us. We have a great guest today. Our entertainment name is No Cash. No Cash. But it's, I'll say his public name is Bayan. We're really excited because he has a great testimony. But not only does he have a great testimony, he has a great story to tell us. And it just shows that no matter where we are in our life, we have choice. So I really am excited to have him on the show. So before we get started, Bayan, tell him a little bit about you before we get started and tearing you apart a little bit.
Tell a little bit about myself.
Okay, excuse me, Byron. Somebody is a lot of noise in the background, and the radio station.
Oh, okay, hold on. Okay, hold on 1 second. I'm gonna go in the house.
Well, wait, on Byron. If you want to join the conversation, or you know have something to elaborate in, and you're already online. Please feel free to press 1. If not, if you're online, you can also dial in and join the conversation as well. So thank you for joining us.
Okay, I'm here.
All right,
okay,
so as I was saying, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my government name is Byon, B-Y-O-N. Everybody has a problem with pronouncing that. It's almost, I tell people this so they can get it, it's like Beyonce without the say. So you just, it's Beyond, not Byon. But yeah, my government name is Byon Artrell McCullough. My stage name is No Cash, and it initially started as N-O Cash because I made some wrong choices in my life and didn't listen to the upbringings of my grandmother because my grandmother and my grandfather raised me due to my upbringings or whatever. And I strayed away from it and decided to do things on my own, and it led me down a dark road, which was going to prison. I went to prison for selling drugs, and it landed me there for 5 years. And while I was away, my grandmother and my grandfather died. And when I came home, before I went in, I was Saga Cash, this rapping guy who had a lot of talent, money, a lot of girls, and the center of attention. Well, when you got money, that's when you are in the center of attention. But when I went away and lost everything, I became the butt of everybody's jokes. You know, you had no more money, you know, and I went from Saga Cash to No Cash. And it was a joke in the beginning. You know, like everybody would say, you ain't Saga Cash, you ain't got no cash, or you Saga Pennies, or you Saga this. And so hearing that so much while I was away in prison, came home, and it was sort of like the same thing. I thought that I was going to use my talents and my gifts to get with some other guys who were maybe more financially stable than I was, and then we could get together and make it work. Well, they think that you're trying to use them, so it's almost like everybody wants you to already have your own ready-made money before you come in. So it was sort of the same thing. So instead of trying to pursue a career as Saga Cash with an image, because I had no budget, no money, no support, I even didn't even have no place to stay. What happened was this videographer, he reached out to me and he was telling me about this new platform, about YouTube, because when I left the streets, it was about MySpace. And and then when I left, I knew nothing about no Facebook, no Instagram, no Snapchat, no none of this stuff. But he came to me and he had already had a YouTube channel. And he convinced me that if I would allow him to shoot me out in the public, you know, just entertaining people because he thought that I had a great talent, he would waiver the fee. And if I allow him to put the first 4 to 5 videos up on his channel, see the response that I get, then he will start me my own YouTube channel. And I agreed. And the first video we shot was Homeless Man Sings for a Big Mac, where I went inside of McDonald's to sing for a Big Mac. Then we did Homeless Man Sings Drake. We also did Homeless Man Sings John Legend, which went viral in New York.
Yeah, I love your John Legend. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but your John Legend, I loved it. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. New York Daily did an interview on me with that one. They did actually 2 interviews. And then from there, it was just Huffington Magazine did an interview, did an article. Michael Bays then, and Steve Harvey, just to name a few. And so it just started like overnight, because I've never had no street team, no PR publicists, no bloggers, vloggers, nobody, nothing of that nature. I still don't have a relationship with these type people. So I really reach out to people such as Mr. John when they reach out to me, because the story is yet to be told. Although it's, you know, since I first went viral, it's been about 3.5, almost 4 years ago. But it's fairly new, because everybody don't understand that how the homeless man goes viral, or how is he homeless with a YouTube channel, or how is he homeless with a this or with a that. But not even understanding that my whole movement was designed around perception. And it's to bring awareness to homelessness in a way that is going to reveal to the viewer themselves. Like, let me help. What I mean by that is, when I started these videos, was I homeless? Yes, in every sense of the word. But was I as bad as I made it look? No, I wasn't. But I did that, like I said, to show the viewer themselves, because in our minds, when we think of homelessness, we think that it looks a certain way.
Absolutely.
And so, you see what I'm saying? So that, you know, and then it's sort of like a catch-22, because if the person is really down bad, all you're going to do is pass judgment and say, well, they can do just like anybody else. They can get a job just like anybody else. So the homeless never really gets help. Or if the person is not so bad looking, they maybe stay at the shelter. They keep a good hygiene. They change their clothes. They're trying to go and fill out applications to get jobs. Sometimes people don't help them either, because they don't look as bad. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's so true.
So what I did was I played on the perception matter to bring awareness to homelessness with my movement, because I did know that within my heart, true talent will take you far. It doesn't need money. It will attract money, but it don't need money. And so I just stepped out on that with the videographer, and now here's the day. I got 100,000 subscribers on YouTube and over 35 million views total.
What? I want to talk about that. Yeah. What happened?
Hey,
people underestimate
you. You got 35 million views. Don't you know there's only 40 million blacks in the United States? And you got 35.
Wow.
That is, I mean, amazing, man. I mean, amazing.
Thanks,
but I
want
to share something
you.
About YouTube. And I tell people this all the time, because this is how I personally did some great business done for me with Verizon and FUBU and other people. You underestimate YouTube. YouTube is so valuable. I don't care what you're doing. If you have a YouTube channel, the right people see YouTube. They don't use Facebook as much as they used to, because they know Facebook numbers can be trumped up. And YouTube to a certain degree, but YouTube really shows your views and really puts your gift out there. And so I want to really reiterate that. And they're easy to make channels. They're so cinchy. So I just encourage you, if you're doing anything, whether you're helping the community, you're having you're doing dialogue on a blog, or whatever it is, set you up a YouTube channel. Please do not underestimate that channel, YouTube, that website.
That platform, she's absolutely right. That's a powerful platform, but I'm even go as far to add to what you were saying and say all of your social media platforms can be powerful. It's just how we use them. See, in most cases, YouTube we know is known to be used to market and promote to help, you know, the consumer and the YouTuber. But with Facebook and other platforms, if you would use them in an appropriate manner, they can be used in the same ways. We just have to educate ourselves. But I had to come to know that. I had to come to know that myself. You see what I'm saying? Because you can get paid from Facebook just like I get paid from YouTube. I don't get paid from Facebook yet. But once you come to know how to go about doing it, it's the same type things with all of these platforms.
Sure is.
It's just how you use them.
Absolutely, and that's a true fact. But yes, so that's really good. And you also speak to the youth as well. Let's talk about some of the conversations because, as we spoke earlier, being transparent is like key, especially when you're talking to youth. They got a BS detector, so they know when you're trying to run game. So when
you're not keeping it real.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're talking to the youth, what are some of the conversations, or what type of groups are you meeting with?
Well, I really don't say what type of group. I just go for whoever is receptive, really. No particular age group. But, see, my thing is, as far as the material that I use on what age group, I kind of let them inquire, you know, because a lot of times kids, they have their own set of questions. They already, you know, they already are wondering things. So when they get around somebody like myself, they have questions. And so I just tend to try to give them a clear answer of what they're already asking. And at the same time, incorporate music and, you know, how music teaches us a lot in life, and we tend to not understand that. I mean, we learn ABCs with the Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star song. And people don't understand that music and teaching in life goes hand in hand. So a lot of times, you know, it's sad, but right now today, Jay-Z may have more of an influence on our race or on our nation than like maybe say a Trump or the president, mm-hmm. because people are inspired by musicians. And so I tend to use my platform to try to aid and assist and kind of be supportive to the youth in a way that I didn't have it done for me. Being from Florence, South Carolina, here in Florence, South Carolina, is not a lot of support in music and stuff like that. And so I tend to want to give back in the areas where I didn't have it, you know what I'm saying, for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Great. That's what we should do. We should always go back. And, you know, I really think your story is, for me, I think it's really great because I know a lot of people that have been to jail, you know, and come home, and some of them don't do anything when they get out. No, they don't make any or changes in their life or to improve their life. And so you came out, not only did you bless your grandparents by improving your life, but you also took it a step further and see how you can bless other people. And that's a selfless person. That's really a great testimony to how they raised you as well.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I had to humble myself, though. It was like doing it my way landed me in prison, and I can't do nothing but – why my grandparents played an important role in what's happening for me is because for the first time in my life, I was forced to take my grandmother and my grandfather's advice. And it was like stuff that I didn't understand growing up. But at that point in my life, it was my compass. And they would tell me things like, son, you know, respect will carry you way further than money ever will, you know, respect and manners. And I said to myself, like, how? But then when I came home from prison with no support, looking around, trying to find out where my help is going to come from, it was the respect and the manners of me trying to tap into the, you know, advice that my grandparents gave me that helped me get where I am today. Because I can honestly say I still haven't had a job, like went out and filled an application and got a job since I've been home. But I have created work, not just for myself, but for a lot of other people along the way. And if I would have let not having funds stop me, then that would have never happened. So I want to let people see that story in real time, as transparent as possible, so that they can stop letting the fears of not having the funds that you need to start a dream or to start something that you may be very passionate about. Just step out on the talent, that the stuff that you already have, and then you will in turn attract the things that you need.
I post about that all the time, walking in faith, you know, and stepping out, because people are really stuck, you know. And I'm so glad you made the point about the money and support. And I talk about not having support either, because if it is your vision, it is given to you. So it is your responsibility to nurture it. It's not given to your mom, your cousin, your sister, your homegirl, or your homeboy, whoever, to bless
you. That's right.
That's yours.
Mm-hmm.
So you have
That's
to.
Right.
You know, I wanted to find out something. I go out myself and I do a care package for the homeless and stuff. Now, when you was out there with your sign, "I'll sing for a hamburger," you know, tell the audience the reaction of people.
Well, like I said, in the beginning of the conversation, people, they build a certain perception about you from afar by how I look and with the sign. They try to read it. Okay, "We'll sing for food." Okay. It kind of throws them for the left because it's not for money. And they're like, okay. Now, they might shun away from me because of my look. But the moment they see somebody that maybe give me a dollar or may come up, my catch is this. I just be trying to create attention. So if somebody would come up with a pack of chewing gum, right, I wouldn't turn them away. I would sing for the chewing gum because it's food at the end of the day. And if I sing, now it will gravitate. People will gravitate towards me. And then now their perception would change because of the gift or because of my talent. And so in turn, it kind of showed me that it was like God's way of showing me that my talent really did make a way for me. Because it was like, what really made me know that I could take on music when I came home, or what made me gave me the strength to try to take on music when I came home, is when I was in prison, I used to wonder, what was I going to do with no support when my grandparents passed, you know, with no support coming, or minimum support coming out. And so I didn't have much work skills because I hustled all my life. And I got felonies on my record. It's not going to be that easy to get a job. And working at McDonald's, where you can probably easily get a job, is not going to take care of me and three kids comfortably and pursue a singing career. I knew those things. So I used to somebody told me in prison to read. I forget the actual verse, but the verse says, "Your gift shall open up doors and place you before great men." And I used to always read that, like every night before I go to sleep. And so when I came out into the world, I ran into so many brick walls trying to get a job and trying to do it the right way and not having no support and nobody wanting to really give you a second chance, till I had to pave a way for myself using my gift. And that's how it came about. And no, it's like when I'm out there, people judge you all the time by my appearance, but it's my talent that makes them gravitate to the movement and want to inquire and then take the little bookmarks that I pass out and things of that nature.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
We're good
man.
At
that
perception.
Is really powerful.
Yeah, we're really good at perceptions. You know, we personally think that if we feel a certain way, and we're all guilty of it, if we feel a certain way or we think a certain way, we perceive things a certain way. You know, and
you're
so,
right.
You know, you have to really work on being open-minded. That even though someone may not move like you or do like you, it doesn't mean that they're doing something, you know, negative, or they're not better than you, or whatever the case may be, because they're different. And I think being different is really important. You have to stand out, especially in entertainment. You cannot be in entertainment and be like everybody else. They already had, you know, you can't come out being Beyonce. There's already a Beyonce. You know what I'm saying?
That's
you can't
right.
Be in truck. You know, you can't be Tupac. Tupac already came and gone. You can't be Tupac. You got to be whoever.
That's right.
And I think that your uniqueness is really what is really special about you as well, because it takes courage to say, "I'm going to do and be me in spite of."
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah,
trust
right.
God is going to open the right doors. That's really powerful, you know, because you
That's
are
right.
strictly walking on faith.
You're right. And see, it's like what I want to add to what you were saying is that It's like my thing that we should learn from the whole thing, and what I've learned from doing this whole experience myself is we have to stop passing judgment so much on people. It's almost like regardless of how somebody look or what they're really going through, it's either you're going to help them, either you have compassion for their situation and you're going to help them, or you're just going to move on and don't contribute. But it's better to not say nothing and don't contribute at all than to add negative to a situation. So, you know, a lot of times instead of just passing judgment, either give cheerfully and keep it moving, whether they go take your money and blow crack with it or whatever they do with it. If you gave it cheerfully, you're going to get your blessing for what you did. And if they use if they don't use it wisely, then they're going to create, they're going to get the karma for what they're doing. And you're not supposed to pass judgment if you're a cheerful giver. God blesses the cheerful giver.
That's just like tithing. People say, I don't tithe because they got new cars, they got new houses. But if you're tithing, that's your way of tithing, giving get thanks to God. You're not responsible for what the humans do, because like you said, they're going to reap what they sow. So
that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Right. Oh, man, that is so powerful. I'm so glad, you know, you accept to come on the show, because right now we have a board full. People is listening in, you know, on their telephone. They listening in on the website and on the radio station. I mean, they just listening in. I'm glad you took that, because what you say, man, is it makes so much sense. You know, about the talent. It's so many people have so much talent. For example, is a guy up there in my hometown, and he has a program that he's fixing to launch. And you see people with tattoos and stuff, how, you know, all these tattoos when they come out of jail and stuff, they have it all on. He having them put their drawing on canvas. And they're going to go out and sell their drawing. That's going to help them, you know, get money and also, you know, get them recognized. They, you know, using their head, their brain, because some of these guys, man, can really, really draw.
That's right. A lot of talent is behind the wall. A lot of talent is behind the wall.
Yeah, it really is.
And that's another thing that I want to give back to help rehabilitate ex-convicts, you know what I'm saying, people that really come back out and are passionate about trying to really do it right this time. If society never gives them a second chance, then it's so easy to do the wrong thing. It's so easy to go back and do what you did again, you know, and that's why our youth make that decision sometimes. It's very hard, it's difficult to do what's right, what's best for you. It's easy to do the wrong thing. And so, you know, especially if you don't have any support or any avenues to help you, then it's that much easier to do the wrong thing. So my thing is I want to give back in those type of ways. Homeless people, rehabilitating ex-convicts, and to our youth. Because at the end of the day, if you don't reach the youth, then that's when you're going to have a troubled future.
Yeah, and we have a troubling one as it is. So in order for, you know, because we're, as a community, you know, and it's no disrespect, but as a community, we're disconnected. You know, the sisters are disconnected from the brothers, you know, the men and women, we disconnected. Then we disconnected from the grandmothers. Then we disconnected from the kids.
That's right.
So we're you know, so we have to fix that. And as the older people, our time is pretty much over. You know what I'm saying? So it's our responsibility to make sure the people underneath us is on solid ground. Because that is the future, just like you said. And if they're not on solid footing, we're going to really slip.
That's right.
That's
right. That's our responsibility, because they are a reflection of us. And I want people to always remember that. See, a lot of times we like to say what the youth is and how the youth is. And we like to say they're this and they're that. But at the end of the day, they are a product of us. They are a reflection
of
us. And however bad they are, that's our negligence, and we have to correct it. And that's what I mean. Like, instead of pointing the fingers and judging, we got to get in there, and we got to really reconstruct this thing from the inside out, because ain't nobody going to do it for us.
And me and John talk about that all the time. That is our responsibility to fix us. It's not Trump's. It's not the next president. It's not your. It's our job. It's our community.
That's right.
It's It's us. It's our responsibility.
That's right, because just like the African proverb said, it takes a village to raise a child, and that's the truth. You know, it's like you keep saying that the kids are disconnected from the parents and the wives and the husband, the male and female. But see, the thing is, we all should be working together for one common cause, and that's the bigger picture that everybody's missing. So with my movement, I just go out and I embrace each and everybody that gravitates towards what I'm doing. If they understand it, my heart and mind tells me that this is a special kind of person, because it takes a lot for somebody to look through what you have on and then still give you and respect you as a person. See, and a lot of times when I have what No Cash taught me, you know, the Bible says a humble man will be exalted. So when I'm out there, it taught me humility. But at the same time, within that humility, I meet people and you can see who their true colors. Because when they first see me, they might shun me, or they'll show you who they really are, how they really treat people like me. But when they really see that I can sing, or they try to understand the movement a little more, then they come and gravitate towards you and want to talk, you know, and want to, you know, inquire, you know, and things of that nature. But I tell them sometimes, you know, you already show me your other face, right? You know, and I have to point that out to them, because we have to be mindful
like
of those things.
Yeah, because, you know, they probably never known it. And you know what? And that is so powerful, because sometimes we can't see ourselves as other people see us. And a lot of times it's hard for people to accept, maybe I'm not right all the time, or maybe I'm looking at this in the wrong way, or maybe I should change this or change that. And when somebody puts it in your face, you have to kind of process it. Whether you like it or not, you got to taste it.
That's right. It's not that you're right. It's not about whether somebody is right or wrong. See,
right.
You see that meme that they play on, that they run on social media a lot, with it's two men standing on the opposite ends of a nine. And if he's looking from that end, it's a nine. And if this guy's looking from this end, it's a six. And they're both are arguing about what it is. See, the thing is, it's not about who's right or wrong. It's just about accepting the other person's story. You know what I'm saying? Allowing them, you know, allowing them a fair chance before you just pass judgment. You see what I'm saying? And that's the problem. We all fall victim of doing it. And if we just stop doing that, I think the world, we'll be more, everybody can coexist together better.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we only got like about two and a half minutes left on the show. And with that said, I'm asking Ms. J to start closing this out.
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for joining us and sharing your great testimony. It's very inspiring.
You're welcome.
And not only that, it's really encouraging, because there's somebody out there stuck that was stuck and just said, well, I ain't got it. I ain't got no money. I ain't got this. I ain't got that. And you just shared with them that it doesn't matter. You still keep moving.
Can I tell everybody where to find me at before we get out of here?
I'm going to actually post that on the website, so when we are done, I'll have all that information for you. But you can give us a positive note on the way out the door, though.
Well, the positive note that I will leave y'all with today is, let me think real fast. Okay, here it is. There's enough good in the worst of us and enough bad in the best of us that should keep us from passing judgment and talking down on the rest of us.
Okie dokie. That's a mouthful. And Mr. John L. Brown.
I just want to say, Beyond, thank you so much, man, for coming on the show, okay?
You're welcome.
And
you're welcome.
This is what Uplifting Community Talk Show is all about. What
Absolutely.
We do is bring people on the show and listen to them. And we have been on air for almost 2 years now, thank God. And this is a really good show. I really like it. And people are networking. And I would highly recommend everybody to pass this this interview on when we put it on social media. Okay. Again, thank you again, Beyond, for coming on the show. All right, back to you, Ms. J.
All right, and thank everybody for joining us. And again, we will have his information, like always. I always have their information, so I'll have that information if someone wants to network with him and just, you know, see what he's all about. I've been a fan for a while, so it's really nice to have him on the show. We'd like to thank all of you guys for joining us. We wish you a
My pleasure. My pleasure.
All right. Peace and blessings, and thank you.
All right. Peace and love
all right.
to y'all, too.
Okay. With that said, good night, everybody.
Good night.